Well, today, February 22nd, is a great feast day for us as Catholics. It is the feast day of the chair of St. Peter. The chair of St. Peter represents his authority as the visible head of the church appointed by Christ himself. And so Christ knew that he would ascend back to heaven, but he wanted to leave his visible church a visible head. And so he chose St. Peter as the first pope. Since then, we've had 265 popes since then, in an unbroken line all the way back to this first apostle that the Lord chose, St. Peter. When we look at the New Testament, we see that Jesus clearly chose Peter as the head of the church. In the list of all the apostles, St. Peter's name is always mentioned first. Oftentimes, the scripture will say, Peter and his companions. In fact, St. Peter's name is mentioned 191 times in the New Testament, which is more than all the other apostles combined, which is 130 times. The one that's mentioned second is St. John, our beloved. Our parish is named after him. He's mentioned 48 times in Scripture. But imagine that. St. Peter mentioned 191 times to remind us of the authority that Christ gave St. Peter as the first pope. We read in today's scripture that after God the Father inspires St. Peter to say that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, what does Jesus say? He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." He uses his formal name. He uses his full name, Simon, son of Jonah. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Peter didn't have the intelligence to come up with that on his own. That had to be revealed to him by God himself. "My heavenly Father revealed to you this, and so you have declared me, the Christ, the Son of the living God. I now declare you, Peter, rock." His name was Simon, a name that means a reed, which we could sway in the wind, something very bendable and changeable. But now he is called Peter. Remember, Jesus spoke Aramaic, and the word is very clear. It's Kepha. He says, "You are Kepha, and upon this Kepha I will build my church." There's no distinction. He says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Remember, this occurred at Caesarea Philippi, and the background was this huge rock formation, about 600 feet wide, 300 feet tall, upon which was built a pagan temple. But now Jesus is saying, "I'm going to build my church upon a different rock, and this will be the rock, and the church will never be destroyed. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church." So the church will never teach false doctrine on issues of faith and morals. For the last 2,000 years, even though society has changed, the church's teachings have remained consistent on issues of faith and morals, because the gates of hell will never corrupt the pure doctrine of the faith. Sadly, it doesn't mean that all the members of the church will live holy lives. We know that does not happen, but the teachings of the church have not been corrupted on teachings of faith and morals. And then he says, "I give you," singular, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven." You have to go back to the prophet Isaiah, to the Old Testament, to understand the keys of the kingdom. When a king went on a journey, he left the prime minister in charge and gave him the keys of the kingdom. It's an incredible symbol of authority to give somebody the keys to your house or the keys to your car. And so Jesus says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be considered loosed in heaven." Again, incredible authority when we think of the power that the Lord gave to St. Peter to be the first pope. And after Peter's death, and they elected a successor, Linus, then Cletus, then Clement, then Sixtus, all the way up to John Paul II, Benedict, Pope Francis, 265 popes. So today we celebrate a great day, the day in which we acknowledge that Jesus Christ did not want to leave us orphans. He gave us a shepherd who is the Holy Father, the Pope, the visible representative, his prime minister who has the keys of the kingdom.